Father God, we adore you. You are a God who loves us, who cares for us, who looks after us in ways that we can't even begin to comprehend. Father, your care and concern for us probably extends well beyond what we could ever imagine or understand. And so thank you for your grace, Lord. It is truly by grace alone that we gather even in this moment. That's not even how we want to gather. It is truly by your grace alone that we can cry out to you, Abba, Father, Lord. And we thank you for your tremendous mercy and grace that you pour out on us every day. So we ask that you would come again this morning. Lord, we long to see one another. We long to be in these moments together. But I trust and I believe that you can take these moments, as feeble as they are, and you can use them in the life of light in the desert church. So we ask that you would do that. Father, I believe with all of my heart that you are Lord, that you are in control, that you know absolutely what is best for us. So this morning, would you come? Would you work in our hearts? Would you do what will make us well? Would you remind us of your grace and mercy this morning? Father, we are thankful for many brothers and sisters across the valley who are worshiping you right now. Lord, that they have endured what we have endured, that we are not alone. You have strengthened the church in the valley. We ask you continue to do that. We pray for the many things and uncertainty that is full or that has filled our news feed over the last few weeks. Lord, not only in the coronavirus for months now, but Lord, even as we watch chaos ensue, Lord, we ask that we would cling all the tighter to your word, even as we think just to the north of us of wildfires that are happening there. Many are suffering. Many are going through really hard times. And so we trust and pray that your grace will be evident in those moments. Father, we ask that you would come and speak to us. Lord, help us to love your wisdom more than our own. Help your wisdom and your truth that we uncover this morning be glorious to us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to help us in our uncertainty. Father, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful that you can take the feeble attempts of your people and you can use them. And so we ask that you would pierce our hearts this morning. So Father, it's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. I am grateful to be here. I laugh at myself because it's just, we've been in these moments, I think, for 11 weeks now. And it just without fail, there's different various things that bring some good humor to these moments. So grateful that the Lord has granted us at least this opportunity to be together in a small way. So this morning, we want to continue our series in Proverbs. So we're primarily going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, certainly open up to there. As you open up to there, and perhaps you've heard of this saying before, but Emily Dickinson, she once stated in the year 1862, and I tracked it down, and here's what she said. The heart wants what the heart wants, or else it does not care. Well, meaning that the heart is in control of what we want. So once the heart is changed and it gets on board with an ideal or a person, it begins to care deeply and it begins to want that thing that it now wants. You see, the heart creates longing. The heart moves us towards change. The heart creates desires that turn into actions. Now, and this actually becomes the most difficult thing about change. And you probably have experienced it. Just stopping something isn't really that easy. I mean, if it were that easy, well, we would be a perfect people and we would be very pleasant to be around. But you know, as well as I do, there are things so deep in us that we oftentimes communicate by saying that is in our hearts that are not so easily changed. I mean, oftentimes it takes a great act, an event, a circumstance to move us to cherish something more than our current desires that we have. You know, what is even more troublesome about our heart and this reality that we all face is that if the desire that we cherish, that is deep in our hearts, if it is unhealthy, well, we will choose it more often than we choose what is best for us. We will choose it more often than we choose what is most wise. To bring us back to our focus over the last several weeks, to choose what is most wise. You see, the heart is not so easily changed. The heart is not so easily convinced. So it is the most important thing for us to consider what lies there deep in our hearts. Now, hopefully at this point, I don't have to explain, and I'm not talking about the physical muscle that pumps blood through our body, but the place inside of us where we store up what we treasure most. Now, if you've been tracking with this series over the last few weeks, you have heard me mention over and over again the heart. I've mentioned it many times in this series, but today, let us consider its impact on wisdom. Now, in chapter 4, we're going to focus on verses 20 through 27. Listen as I read. "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." Now, perhaps even as we read that, it's fairly easy to see how the father is instructing his son. Much like he's been doing in the first 9 chapters, he appeals again to the son to be attentive to his, the father's, words and saying. But what's so unique about these few verses is that the crucial concern is the heart, particularly in verses 21 through 23. Be attentive, the father appeals. But then he moves into this crucial concern of the heart. Now, the word heart is frequently used throughout the Bible. I mean, heart, as one scholar said, is one of the most important terms in the Old Testament. It actually occurs 46 times in Proverbs. It's a concern. It actually occurs 858 times in the Old Testament. Well, it gets a lot of attention. Biblical scholars and theologians have concluded that it has at least 6 different types of meanings. And this isn't going to be too much of a surprise to you, but just for clarity's sake, one is the actual organ, the muscle in our body that pumps blood. Secondly, it's where feelings are found. We oftentimes use heart to communicate that. Thirdly, it houses our wishes and desires, or we might say it's the place of longing. Fourthly, it's the center of reason. Fifth, it makes decisions of the will. And lastly, it has a moral, a spiritual determination for us. But the emphasis here in Proverbs 4 is the place from where all decisions are made, because it is the place of all desire and longing. That seems to be the emphasis and the concern of the father for his son, is this place called the heart where decisions are made. And the reason that decisions are made there is because it's the place of all desire and longing. So that's why we get these instructions to keep the father's words or sayings, as the scripture says, to keep those in your heart and to keep watch over your heart with all vigilance. This is why it is so important, because the heart is the place to collect the things you treasure most. So the Father wants to make sure that what gets put in there for his son is his words, is his saying. The Father, in essence, is saying, those things, keep those dear. Keep reviewing those things. Sort through those things when life throws you joys and hurts. They, in the end, if they're stored up in your heart, they will be what guide you. Because consider for a moment. I mean, it's one thing to hear something and be attentive to what is being said, but you know as well as I do, it's an entirely different thing to put them in our heart, to treasure them. You see, the Father doesn't want just mere listening. He wants the Son to hear and store them away because they will be helpful. Now, this isn't lost on us. We know what is meant here. It is to put the things that are true about life in the place where you will cherish them. Put them in the place where they will have the most influence and they will be a regular part of decision-making. Hence why he says, put them in your heart. Put them in that place. I mean, this is so true. How often have you or have you heard someone refer to words or sayings or teachings or little phrases or proverbs handed down from their parents, their grandparents? You know, stuff like this, right? Mama said there'd be days like this. Well, a more popular one, but a strong reminder to not be too rattled by unfortunate circumstances. Or here's one I heard a good bit growing up. Return things you borrow back to the person better than when you received it. Right? This is a reminder to treat other stuff with respect. Now, here's one I did hear a lot, but it's quite popular. Honesty is the best policy. Well, this is motivation to do what? To speak the truth first. When I'm in a tough spot, these words spring to my mind and remind me, it's probably better that I just tell the truth first rather than make up lies to get out of trouble. Now, if you've ever been a kid before, you know that struggle. We've been there. We've done that. And we realize, yeah, maybe honesty is the best thing to do. Or here's another popular one. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Yeah, just a reminder, right? Take tough times of life when they come flying at you, your heart perhaps searches and says, oh yeah, this would be a healthy way to respond. Or here's a more personal one that my grandmother always said. I was talking to my family yesterday, my brother and my mama. We were reminiscing about this from my grandmother. She would always say, it will all come out in the wash. And yes, there is an R in that word somewhere. But she would often say this, and I have used it throughout the years to remind me to not get too worked up over things that just really don't matter in the end. That maybe in the end, it's not really going to be that big of a deal. That really in the end, it will kind of work itself out in time. Or lastly, here's one that honestly has been very helpful for me. And one that my heart recalled a lot throughout my teenage years and even into my adult years. One that a spiritual mentor told me. Here's what he said. It's simple. Garbage in, garbage out. It was so good. And it has stuck with me all of these years. What does it mean? Well, it means whatever you put into your body, mentally and physically, is what's going to come out. You see, this isn't lost on us. We understand that we store these types of things that are most dear to us. We put them in our heart, and then our heart thinks of them, and then our heart uses them to guide us at just the right moment. Well, here's how one scholar put it about the belief of the heart in the Old Testament. Here's what he said. The heart also thinks reflects and ponders. The function of the brain was unknown in the Old Testament, so they gave that to the heart. As the eyes were meant to see and the ears were meant to hear, the heart is meant to discern and prompt action. So the father is wise here to tell his son to keep the truthful statements about life in your heart, because, as the text says, they are life to those who find them and who store them up. Now, life is a major emphasis of Proverbs. It's matter of fact, one of the results or rewards of the righteous. Results, reward for those who are wise. It comes up over and over again. Now here, it means that if we listen and then recall God's words and saying that, that physical well-being will be the result. Life is found in following good instructions. And not only good ones, but right ones. So the natural result of storing them up is when you use them that our well-being is enhanced. It's like the item that someone says because they just know at some point I'm going to need it, right? Have you ever, maybe you are that person, right? That piece of metal you found on the side of the road. Ooh, I might use this one day. Or that piece of fabric left over from something you made. Ooh, I should hold on to this. I might need it. That old bicycle rim. You probably have some of these items that you're just simply holding on to because you know one day, just one day, I might use it. Perhaps it's found its way into a junk drawer. And it might take years, but when it's needed, oh yeah, it's glorious, isn't it? You know, the heart has a way of sorting through that collection of things that you treasure most to prompt action. So therefore, it is vital for us to have things there that are worthy to be there. Well, let us move to the second concern for the heart. It's this: to keep watch over it with all vigilance. Why is that? Because the heart is the center of all a person's emotional, intellectual, religious, moral activity. So therefore, it must be safeguarded above all things. And what's so interesting is that Proverbs tells us that what the eye and the ear, what they take in, they're kind of gates for the heart. And whatever they take in, they kind of shape the heart. But at the same time, the heart decides what they will hear and see. You see, the heart is of utmost importance to wisdom. It is of utmost importance to live in such a way that the Lord is honored and we are well. You see, that's the reason given for keeping watch over our heart. Verse 23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The text says we do this. We keep watch. We do this because from the heart springs all of life, meaning that the heart is the source of all living. It's right there in the text. It's responsible for all bodily activity. It is of utmost importance. What is there? What is stored there? What is in there? Are you watching it? We could maybe put it this way. So as the heart goes, so does the person. Or I could even put it more simply this way. Your actions reveal your heart. Gossip reveals jealousy or bitterness. Envy reveals a lack of contentment. Racism reveals hatred and pride. Drunkenness reveals a lack of self-control. This has been the long understanding of Scripture from the beginning. And Jesus himself, he makes the same observation in Mark chapter 7. Listen to this. For from within, you don't know what that means? He gets clear. Out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Wasn't this interesting? The heart is the place that determines our ways. So keep watch with all vigilance. Be a doorkeeper at the door of your heart, only letting in what is truthful. Whether you like it or not, what goes into our eyes and ears has influence. Remember, garbage in, garbage out. You take in sexually explicit material, sexually explicit material comes out. You take in hatred, well, hatred comes out. It is wise for us to set watch over our heart, to set watch over what comes in, to only let truthful things in. And what is more truthful than God's word? You see, God's word must be the moral fiber, so to speak, that is sewn into the fabric of our heart to ensure that what springs from it is life-giving. You see the connection here? If you keep God's word in your heart, well, this helps you keep watch. Put God's word there in your heart, then let it long for it more. See how this kind of works together, God's word and the longing of our heart. If the heart longs for God's word, then you will put it there. And once you put it there, well, it will long for it all the more. And then this becomes the way that you keep watch. You see, the words and the sayings of the Father act like a watchtower. As you build the truthful statements of the Father, who here represents God's words and wisdom, as we build upon them, it allows us to stand just a little bit higher up, to have a better view around us so that we can watch for danger, so that we can be observing around us what might be coming our way that is dangerous. It serves like a watchtower. It props up the heart to know what is evil and to know what is good. The Father tells the Son, keep watch with all vigilance. Isn't that an intense term? But that is what is needed to communicate our approach to keep watching. You see, it has the sense of a guards in a prison. This is the most important task you have, to guard, to restrain, to keep watch over your hearts. For us all to keep watch over our hearts. Don't fall asleep on your watch. This is your most important task, so don't fall asleep. We know what happens when the person responsible to watch falls asleep. The enemy creeps in and destroys. Are the people being guarded? Get out and get into trouble. Don't get complacent on your watch. If one looking out in the distance sees something concerning, but shrugs it off, no big deal, they open themselves to grave danger. The complacency of, that's nothing, without taking proper precautions, can easily lead to the dismissal of something that actually is dangerous. Don't grow complacent. Don't become prideful in your watching. If one thinks, oh, I got this, nothing's going to affect me, oh, they're making a big deal out of that. It makes that person vulnerable to the very thing they think will not affect them. You put down your guard and trouble quickly follows. brothers and sisters, these are helpful instructions to us because the heart wants what the heart wants. But it is not so easily changed. I wish it was that easy. I wish that we could just stop and then start doing something. But the heart is just not so easily changed. So what do we do? What do we do? You know, what's so fascinating about the use of heart within the Old Testament? This actually becomes the main issue of the entire Old Testament that later is picked up in the New Testament. You see, the hard hearts of God's people throughout biblical history is on display in the Old Testament. Let me just read you a couple of scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. God is instructing the people to not be so stubborn. Here's what he says. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. That's a weird phrase. What does it mean? It means cleanse your heart. Change your heart. And he ends with, and be no longer stubborn. Change your hearts. It will help you to not be stubborn and listen. So what's the solution? Well, if we get to Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, here's the solution the Lord offers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart, cleanse and change it, and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Here's a solution to the hard heart. Here's a solution to the heart that needs to be cleansed. And the Lord your God will do it. If you don't take those, well, let's just get to Jeremiah, another prophet, saying the same thing. In describing the people of God, he says, but they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. Ezekiel also picks up on it again. Here in chapter 3, verse 7, it's God is telling Ezekiel why the people will not listen to him. Here's what he says. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me. Why? Because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. This is the main issue throughout the entire Old Testament. So what's the solution again for Ezekiel? Well, it's the same as Deuteronomy. Chapter 36, verses 25 through 27. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. I, God, is saying, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And here's the kicker. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Brothers and sisters, let's make no mistake about it. If you've stumbled on our page, let's make no mistake about it. Our need for wisdom is our need to have a heart transplant. And we cannot do that ourselves. Even Proverbs, if we go to chapter 20, verse 9, here's what it says. Who can say, I have made my heart pure? I am clean from my sin. The implied answer, no one. No one. You see, from the Old Testament, we see, and we'll see it in the New Testament, regeneration has to occur to have our hearts changed. The primary problem that Proverbs is speaking towards, and the major concern of why the father has concern for the son's heart, is that he knows that from it springs life. So therefore, he wants to have a heart devoted to the Lord. He wants to have a heart that's inclined to obey, inclined to serve, inclined to keep God's words close to our hearts, inclined to keep watch over our hearts. And that only happens The only way our hearts are changed, and that's just according to the Old Testament, is by God. He, as Ezekiel tells us, he does that work. He regenerates our hearts. Might you be asking how? Well, the Old Testament picks up on the same reality and the same problem. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Colossians 2, 13 through 14, and you who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, this spiritual aliveness, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He changes us through the person and work of Jesus. Dead, hard hearts, not inclined to the Lord, are radically changed through the person and work of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Titus 3, verses 5 through 6. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness. You don't change your heart. You don't become alive to the things of God. Your heart is not softened by the works done in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out, sounds similar to Ezekiel, doesn't it? Whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, the Father is so deeply concerned with the Son's heart because he knows as the heart goes, so does his Son. Well, brothers and sisters, and those who've come to this page, it's true of us too. The heart wants what the heart wants. So what do? We, through faith and repentance, trust in the person and work of Jesus. You see, our need for wisdom is actually a need for a heart transplant that you can't do. You can't crack your own chest open and transplant your heart. The physical thing, you can't do that. And you can't change your heart when it comes to loving and following the Lord. But he has made a way. He has provided. He has done the work. Our heart is of utmost importance when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to wisdom. And this morning, our gracious grace alone, our gracious Father has provided us a way to have our hearts radically changed through faith and repentance on the person and work of Jesus. If you have further questions about that, certainly reach out. But if you call Light in the Desert Church home, you have to understand that keeping watch over your heart, of putting in God's word, become essential ways that he changes our heart. That once we come to Christ in faith and repentance, we continually come back to the person and work of Jesus to have our hearts radically rearranged and changed to grow in our love and longing for God. It is not by sheer willpower, but it is through trust and dependence on the person and work of Jesus. Our actions today is to hide God's word in our heart, to put close to us the truth about life and cling to that more than the unsettling things around us. And our second great action today is to keep watch over our hearts, knowing our tendencies, knowing the places that we tend to fall and fail, knowing the things that draw us away, keeping watch and being vigilant in that. Would you pray with me? Father God, it is in your holy and precious name that we pray this morning. I trust that you've helped to make sense of the truth of your scripture. Father, Proverbs has put on display the desperate need for our hearts to be changed. We can't even attempt to have self-control until our heart that is restless and not controlled is controlled by you, by the person and work of Jesus. So might we cling all the more to him. Might we understand that our heart is on display when it comes to our lack of wisdom. Our heart is on display when it comes to the actions we do. And might they help us to run into our hearts, surrendering more of ourselves to you, letting the person and work of Jesus speak to those areas of our heart. Father, I am grateful for this time. And I'm grateful for the fresh reminder that if I'm going to be wise, that I have to depend on you to change me. I do that by putting your word in my heart. I do that by keeping watch. I do that by trusting what you have done in your son for me. Father, it is in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, be looking for further announcements about Sunday. We'll try to put something out, just reviewing all the different details, and probably have a prayer gathering on Friday in Zoom so that we can pray for our gathering time as well. So if you have any further questions, certainly put that in the comment section. Reach out to us. Grace and peace.